You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Ephesians chapter 2 is where I want to go. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read three verses of it's profound, it's weighted, and it's genuinely life-changing. Well, it certainly has been for me, so I hope it is for you. Here's what the scripture says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God planned beforehand that we should walk in them. The emphasis gives the title away. I want to speak to you for a few minutes about we should walk. Look at the neighbor you prefer at home, online, in the hub, Zoom, wherever you are, and say, we should walk. No, I'm serious. We really should walk. Look at the other person that you rejected and say, hey, I really think it's a good idea. We should walk. Billy, we should walk. Luke, we should walk. We should walk. Everybody say, we should walk. We should walk. I mean, really? Those are the three words out of that incredible passage? We should walk. You know, I like simplifying things, so I'm going to boil it down to one. In fact, you could say today's message is brought to you by the number one. So here we go. First point, one job. One job. You know, this isn't complicated. If you look at this verse, it is pretty stunning what it says. It says, for by grace you've been saved. In other words, when you got saved, whichever culture, country, context you're from, whichever background you came from, you got to realize you didn't do it. God did it. God's grace extended to me and to you is the reason we got saved. In so many other religions and faith, you got to earn it, you got to work for it, you got to strive for it, you got to prove it. But at the end of the day, it's God's grace that reached out, and his grace is the reason we have something to talk about. And his grace, which gave us access to him, was only accessible through faith. And you're like, yeah, I knew, because I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. No, no, but even then he goes on to say, just a reminder, that even is not of yourselves. Even the faith is a gift of God. So think about it. What did we have to do with the grace? Nothing. What did we have to do with the faith to get the grace? You're like, no, but I believed. Who gave you the capacity to believe? Who opened your eyes? Who awakened your heart? Who quickened you in that moment? So right now, all the glory, as we have sung, belongs to the one, to the name above every name, because it's his grace and his faith. It's a gift, not of works, so none of us can say anything prideful. Then it says, for we are his workmanship. So not only is it God's grace and God's faith, we are God's creation, meaning you and I didn't make ourselves. Nobody online right now, whichever country, you didn't make you. You are you, but you didn't choose you. You didn't make you. And it's not even your mom and dad who made you. They made a choice, but God made you. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that he knit us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, you might look at your neighbor and go, man, if that's God's workmanship, man, he needs some practice. But listen, I want to tell you, he made you and I unique and distinctive. We have added our own touches to the masterpiece, and more, it's more a piece than a masterpiece now. But at the end of the day, you and I are still his workmanship. So it's God's grace, it's God's faith, it's God's craftsmanship, and he created us for good works, which he prepared beforehand. So, summary. God's grace, God's faith, God made us, and God's got a plan for you. It's not even like you had to concoct your own plan and go, let me listen to a few Tony Robbins seminars, work out how to handle life post-COVID, and what is your plan? He already has a plan. So he made you. He had a plan before you were born, and to be conscious of it, for you uniquely and specifically, whichever country in the world you're in. He also then gave you the grace and the faith to reach him, because he gave you a free will. And all of us, the Bible says, everyone has sinned, fallen short, walked away. There's no better or worse cursed people. We're just all lost people. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him, he said, I'll burn faith into your spirit and I'll give you access to my grace. I made you. I love you. I have a plan for you. So far, how much do we get to contribute to the equation?
Nothing.
But then there's the problem. This verse is a little annoying. It should have gone the whole way. It should have said, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God planned beforehand that he would also one day pick up our legs and carry us to heaven all the way. Since he did so much of it, he might as well have finished the whole job. That would have been a brilliant passage. It would have easily been my favorite passage in the whole Bible. Because then I really have to do nothing. He gave us, everybody said, one job. That's amazing. We only have one job. We get to thank God for his grace. When you're really conscious of who he is and what he's done, that I have an origin, I have a purpose, he's a plan for my life, he's given me faith and he's given me grace, I have so much to be grateful for. So often we can complain to God about what he hasn't done. God, I don't know, this life's not working out. Can't believe this is where it's at. And we moan to God about what's not working, and maybe in your context it's harder than someone else's. But just for a moment, can we just be the kind of people that reflect on how good God is? Can we be the kind of people that realize he's done the heavy lifting? He made us, he crafted us, he planned us, he graced us, he gave us faith. He's literally done everything possible. And he said, I give you one job, just walk in it. We should walk. We should walk. Walk worthy, walk confidently, walk thankfully, but walk. Pick up your legs and take steps in the right direction. God does not want you to be stagnant. He doesn't want your life to be stuck. He wants you to actually have motion and movement. And whether you are in lockdown or whether you are free, at the end of the day, there are some people who are free who are stuck in lockdown. And there are other people in lockdown who've been free and growing and moving. Why? Because walking isn't just a literal thing. It's the posture of declaring that God, he's given me one job. He's done everything else. I'm going to walk. And to give you context, imagine if you wanted to get fit. And you decided, I just wish there was a gym. And then suddenly somebody else created a gym, made a business, bought the equipment, and then had a gym. And you're like, oh, that's good, but I'm still... And then you had a friend who would pick you up and paid your membership. And then he didn't just order the gym, pay your membership. He drove to your house, pick you up, and he'd take you to the gym. This is actually my testimony. Except I paid my own gym membership. But, you know, if Troy really loved me, he would pay for my gym membership as well. But the point is, and you imagine, they created the gym, they ran the business, they paid your gym membership, they drive to your house, they pick you up, they take you to the thing, they literally put you on the treadmill, on the bike, and you're like, well, since you've come this far, can you at least move my legs for me? That's how ridiculous it is when we complain to God about why he doesn't do more for us. He's literally done everything for us, so that's why we should be thankful, we should be grateful. He's given you grace, he's given you faith, he's got a plan for your life, and he gave us one job. Everyone say, one job. We should walk. You know, there's a story in the Bible about a man who was paralyzed and his four friends, because he could do nothing. They are the ones came up with a plan. They took time off from work. They met together. They got a stretcher. They carried him and walked all the way to a very full meeting. Like, this meeting is full. Like, maybe your hubs are full. Maybe your house is full. But there was no space. So they climbed up the roof. They opened a hole. And this story is recorded in the book of Mark. And literally they lowered him to the feet of Jesus. And there this lame man who's done nothing except lie there, because he couldn't do anything, is now before Jesus. In a house that no one else could get in, he's got access because other people paid a price. And then Jesus looks at him. He doesn't say a word. And Jesus says, I forgive you. You're now worthy. I now heal you. You're now able. So access was granted. Price was paid. Forgiveness was given. Healing was released. And then Jesus gives him one job. Pick up your mat and walk. I mean, if you're going to go to all that trouble, surely one of the mates could have picked up the mat for him. Surely, like, come on, he's been lame for a long time. But there's something about walking that awakens you. And at the end of the day, it's not because God can't move your legs for you. He so loves you that he wants you to reciprocate. And it's a choice of your own will to say, God, I choose. I choose love. I choose forgiveness. I choose to respond. I choose to obey. I choose to walk. I choose to get up. Even if it's only one job, I have one job, and that's I'm going to walk in this. So it's not just one job. It's one step. See, walking is a 42-kilometer marathon. Sounds daunting, but it's just a lot of one steps. Whether you're going for a long walk or a short walk, it's just one step and then another step. But in the moment, all you can pay attention to is the step in front of you. And so let's show you how simple this is. Your one job is to take one step. So it's not even you got to go for a long walk. Your one job is to take one step. Because sometimes the burden might be huge. The challenge of rebuilding might be massive. How you move on from that tragedy seems too hard. And we can be daunted, we can be fearful, but can I encourage you, all around the world, let's just take one step. One job. God's giving you the grace, God's giving you the faith. He's got a plan, it's not over. Just take one step. One step is a baby step, it's often the first step, and you don't need to think, how do I swallow this entire elephant? One bite at a time is all it takes. One step will take you to the next step. And if every one of us can leave this auditorium, leave your hub in your country, leave your home, leave the service, knowing God has graced me, God has faithed me, God has made me, God has planned me, God has purposed me, all I need, I got one job to take one step, it's doable. It's doable. And I want to encourage you, walk it out. So many people want to work it out. I'm stuck. I don't know how to get out of this relationship. I don't know what to do with my business. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I don't know about the vaccine or this, or that, the government, whatever it is. And you're trying to listen to so many voices, read so many articles, 1,000 opinions, and you're trying to work it out. And God says, just don't work it out, walk it out. So, you know, so much of the Kingdom City journey globally has not been us working it out. It's not because we don't have plans or strategies. It's just walking it out. Let's try that. Oops, no, that didn't work. Let's try this. And, you know, in the process of a baby does not sit down and calculate whether its weight can handle. It just takes steps. It falls, and then he or she gets up again and just begins to walk out its destiny. And it's no different with God. Yeah, but what if I fall? Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up out of that grave. Just get up. Bible says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, yet 8 times will he get up. So you're not righteous because you never fall. Because a righteous man falls 7 times. What makes him righteous is not that he didn't fall, but that he kept getting up. I don't know what's in front of you, but sometimes it's not complicated. It might be as simple as God speaking to you saying, you know, you need to forgive that person. You need to let go of that offense, or, you know, I want you to go and do this. Or, you know, it might be simple. It might not even be complicated. Often we are looking for solutions in the form of strategy. God is not looking for strategy. He's looking for obedience. Sometimes all he wants you to do is listen to what he says, not try and work it out and go, yeah, but I need to know all the questions. This is called faith. Faith means I don't get it all. Now, I don't believe in throwing your brains out. I like my brains. I'd like to keep them. I believe in study. I went to university. I worked as a lawyer, studied 2 degrees. I did all of that stuff, and I intellectually argue with the best and the worst of them, and I love it. I win some, I lose some, but at the end of the day, it's not about my logic, it's about my faith. Taking steps to walk out my faith is as simple as just trusting God, even though I can't track him. Even though I can't trace him, I'll still trust him. There were 11 fishermen who caught nothing all night, and Jesus from the shore bellows out, guys, other side. I mean, these are fishermen. Like, your best suggestion is just try the other side. You know, some of us would be like, if we're barren and we've caught nothing and there's no favor, no fruit in this area, God, I need something smart, brilliant. And God says, listen, all I want is your obedience. And God didn't say change the crew, sack the staff, get a new boat, find a new ocean. He wasn't a consultant kind of just cast your dead on the other side. It almost insulted their intelligence that to be simple enough to obey and walk it out and take the one step. They cast the net to the other side and 153 fish. They went from barren to abundance because at the end of the day, it wasn't about strategy, it was about obedience. So you might be going, well, what has joining a Connect group got to do with my destiny? I want to be a scientist or a pharmacist, or I want to be good in sports or in media, or you've got dreams for your business. And you're like, they just asked me to usher. Ushering has nothing to do. I want to be a preacher. I don't want to be an usher. Oh, maybe if I usher and I shake hands and I look at everyone and I give them a sermon when I talk to them, maybe I... No, don't try and work it out. Just do what's in front of you. Don't try and work out what does ushering have to do with preaching? What does a Connect group have to do with your destiny? Just say, God, I want to be the kind of person who will take my one job to take my one step seriously, because that's all it takes. There's sometimes small steps that seem to go nowhere, but God looks at it and says, there's an obedient child. Some of you may be aware, 6 months ago, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, a lymphoma that was very aggressive, and it looked very bleak. I got back from a trip from New Zealand, and our whole family were there, and we didn't know how it was going to roll out. And despite all the fact that we have great faith, he has great peace, he knows where he's going. Death has got no fear, because he knows where he's going one day, which all of us are going to have to settle at some point. The fact is, it was a journey, and I had a sense early on, and I talked to him about it, this is going to be an enduring race. I absolutely, totally believe he's actually going to get healed. He's going to have to go to heaven one day, but there's a lot of reasons, and I don't want to go into it now, but we actually had real faith to stand to believe for a miracle. And he's just finished, by way of update, all 6 rounds of chemo. Chemo battered his body, but at the end of the day, in 2 weeks or so, we'll get results and get an idea. So I'm telling you this ahead of the time, but here's what I do know. If you walk through the journey with him daily, it is a harrowing experience. And anyone who's had that kind of relative or close friend or loved one who's gone through that will understand. And sometimes the only prayer you can pray is, you know, you pray for healing, but it's like, God, just today, just help us take one step. Lord, give us grace for today. Lord, give us energy to get through till tonight and then give us a good night's sleep. That's a valid prayer. That's not a weak prayer. That's a real prayer. That's a genuine prayer. And in fact, God honors that prayer. One job, he'll give you the grace for today. He'll give you the faith for today. He knows that he's got a plan for tomorrow. Just ask for the grace to take one day at a time. You know, maybe you're in lockdown and some of the cities are coming out and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get back to the work. You know, one step. Try one step. Here's step one. No more tracksuits. No more tracksuits. You know, one step. I can't promise you I'm going to be there on time. I can't promise you I'm going to enjoy work, but I'll stop tracksuits. You know, just start with one step. And one step will lead to the next step. And that's how we conquer atrophy. More importantly, that's how we conquer fear. And you know, the scripture does not say that we should run in them. It says we should walk in them. So don't get exhausted and tired taking your step. Walk in them means just take steps. And understand that God is with you, he's for you, he's not against you. And when life gets daunting, when life gets tough, remind yourself, I have God's grace. Everybody say, I have God's grace. Come on, speak it out, because there's a power in your declaration tonight. And everybody at home, I want you to listen to me right now. And Hubs, where you are, in whatever accent you want to use or language, declare out loud, because it's good for your soul to hear your mouth speak, that you're not without help. You're not isolated by yourself. You have the grace of God, because it's by grace you've been saved, and his word declares that his grace is sufficient for you. So everybody say, I have God's grace. Which means you've got the ability to get it done. Get what done? Whatever it is you're facing. You know, when he says your grace is sufficient, sufficient just means whatever you need. If you and I need this much grace, he'll give you this much grace. If you need this much grace, he'll give you this much grace. I just did a pastor's conference for all the pastors in Western Australia. And, you know, there's some pastors who are believing God for this much. Other pastors are believing for this much. We spoke to a missionary who was working outside of Afghanistan, having to love the Taliban. Now, they need a lot more grace than any of us. We're like, I'm just sick of the guy down the road. They're like having to forgive the Taliban. But whatever grace you need, his word is true. My grace is sufficient for you. So you don't need to look to the left or the right, compare with anybody else. You just need to know, I have God's grace. Everybody, I have God's grace.
I have God's grace.
You can also declare this. He's given me faith. He's given you faith. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to become some supernatural evangelist. You don't have to somehow work yourself up and look like Blake or Matt. You just need to be you and say, God, I have God's grace and he's given me faith. Everybody say, I have God's grace. He's given me faith. God planned me with purpose. You know what it'll do to your soul if you declare this every morning? I don't know why I'm here. How much more is this country going to be like this? No, God planned me with purpose. That means I don't know why I'm here, but I'm meant to be here because I'm here. And if he's got a plan, I don't know what the plan is, but I need to trust him and I need to declare over my life that God planned me with purpose. That is just a statement rich in faith, declaring you have an origin, you have an author, you have a planner, you have an intelligent being, a loving father who cares about you, and he's got a plan for you. So let's try this. Let's practice. I have God's grace. He's given me faith. God planned me with purpose. Try that again. I have God's grace. He's given me faith. God planned me with purpose. I mean, I'm not Blake, but that sounds like a rap. Come on, let's say it with some rhythm. Say, I have God's grace. He's given me faith. God planned me with purpose. So let's go. That's for you, Sheldon, in New Zealand. I have God's grace. He's given me faith. God planned me with purpose. So let's go. Look at your neighbor. Everybody in the hub. I know, it's getting a little awkward. It's not your personality, I understand. But tell him, say, I have God's grace. He's given me faith. God planned me with purpose. So let's go. Listen, that's the end of my abilities as far as rap is concerned. But I saw Blake around. Blake, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Let's see what we can do. Jesse, come here. These two guys, we may look like we come from the similar shade, but some of us have been stuck in the sun a little longer. So you will know.
Come on. What are we?
Listen, listen, listen.
What are we doing?
Let's go. No. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to rap that.
All right.
And you're going to dance that. Because you're an amazing dancer.
Oh, wow.
Or you're going to, what do you do? Oh. You know, do the beatbox thing or whatever.
We can.
So I have God's grace. You got to help these guys.
And we need grace right now, bro.
And it's efficient. Listen. Everybody around the world is looking to you.
Oh, God.
So hi to your family, all right? So,
hi, Mom.
Okay. So on the spot, no rehearsal, I have God's grace.
I have God's grace.
He's given me faith.
He's given me faith.
God planned me with purpose.
God planned me with purpose.
So let's go.
So let's go.
All right, you go over to you.
All right, we got to have faith. Come on, let's do
okay,
this.
Okay.
What you got?
I think we can do this.
This isn't rehearsed, yeah. By the
okay,
way.
I'll drop a beat. Ready? Okay.
Okay, why don't you put your hands up? Okay. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me my purpose, so let's go. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me my purpose, so let's go.
I have God's grace, he's given me faith. He planned me with purpose, so let's go. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. He planned me with purpose, so let's go. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me with purpose, so come on. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me with purpose, so let's go. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me with purpose, so let's go. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me with purpose, so let's go.
So let's go, hey.
I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me with purpose, so let's go. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me with purpose, so let's go. I have God's grace, he's given
How do
me
we
faith
end this?
God planned me with purpose. I have God's grace, he's given me faith. God planned me with purpose.
Come on, that's it.
Come on, let's go.
Give these guys a
Come on.
Listen. You guys are just from another planet. Right now, Botswana's going wild, and Singapore's just staring at the screen. That's not true. That's very unfair. They're passionately doing something. That's not the end of my sermon. That was just point two. Point three is not as exciting as that. Listen, here's the question. What's your next step? One job with one step. What is it? Some of us can't even articulate, okay, you know what? I'm going to believe God for this. Because the whole thing just seems so daunting. But it gets even better. It's not just one job to take one step. Here's another one. One another. It says we should walk in them. We. Not I should walk alone. We should walk in them. Everybody say we. So you're not meant to do this journey alone. In fact, your one job is to take one step with one another. Which is not meant to be a problem, it's meant to be a blessing. Because the Bible says two are clearly better than one. In fact, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the scripture is out there. It says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who's alone when he falls, for he has no one to lift him up. Two are better than one. That's not a marriage verse, that's a life verse. That's a life verse. That's why we keep going on about connects. It's not to clog up your schedule. At the end of the day, it's about doing life with people, because one job to take one step is easier when we're doing it with one another. The scriptures is filled with one another. Greet one another, love one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, help one another, honor one another. There's so many one another's in the Bible. I've done a sermon a while ago on the one another's in the Bible, and it was an exhaustive list. I had to cut it down, but literally it's filled with commands from scripture of how this journey is not something where you walk alone. We should walk. We walk together. Anyone here support Liverpool? Anyone here heard of Liverpool? Everyone around there, Liverpool Football Club is a great English Premier League club. They won the Premier League 2 years ago when no one was watching. And that was on the back of 30 years of barrenness, when the greatest club, Manchester United, was winning everything. Okay. You don't have to get personal, it's okay, it's fine. It's been a long time. But anyway, for 30 years, they didn't win the league. But they all had fun, because they would never walk alone. They have a theme song called You'll Never Walk Alone. Literally, that's their song. Chatty, I'm going to make you sing it, but I won't, don't worry. But it's You'll Never Walk Alone, right? That's a song. Do you want to sing it? Do you want to try and sing it? Because this is the only way we're going to get point two. Yeah, come on. Everybody around the world, this is Pastor Chad. I don't know if... I've not really heard him sing, but he's a Liverpool fan. And I've heard him sing footy songs at the ground. So here we go. You'll Never Walk Alone by Pastor Chad Harding.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. Stay tuned around the globe. This is church at the end of the storm. Simon Woodall. And your dreams be ran. Walk on, walk on. Change. You'll never walk alone.
Wow. Wow. There's people all around Malaysia cheering, around London cheering, people all around the world cheering.
I heard them rehearsing. I didn't get to rehearse.
So, fortunately, it's not his one job, but that was amazing.
Thank you.
So here's the thing. You shouldn't sing alone either. No. But come on, give it up for Pastor Chad Harding. What a legend. So here's the thing. You're not supposed to do this on your own. Singing or walking. The problem is, most of us, when we talk about our walk with God, it sounds like this really personal, private thing. Religion's private. Faith is between me and God. It's no one else's business. I don't want anyone to know what's going on. So we talk about, it's my walk. It may be your walk, but it's not your road. There are others on the same road as you, And Jesus told a story about a man who had a walk. He was a Levite. Then another man had a walk. He was a priest. There was a beaten up traveler on the road. And they were so preoccupied with their walk, they walked past on the same road someone else who was had a different walk but was on the same road. And then a good Samaritan walks along. He had his own walk, but he stopped because he realized that even though your walk is personal, God never intended it to be private. And really, a huge reason for your walk is that others would benefit. And when you're struggling, someone else would help you. We should walk. Everybody say, we? We should walk. So come on, everybody, you're struggling. I want to encourage you. Get out behind Zoom. Decide if my city is meeting in the hubs, I'm going to get up and I'm going to join them next Sunday. And conquer atrophy, conquer fear. Decide to get someone else to help you, to meet you, to pick you up. Everybody, I have God's grace. He's given me faith. God's planned me with purpose. So let's go. Okay, number four, and we promise you we're getting to the end. Number four, one thing. And this may be the most important of the message that is brought to you by the number one. Brought to you by the number one with 4 points. You know, one job, he did everything. One step, that's about all I need to. You know what? Everybody can leave free with faith tonight because I got one step. How do I rebuild that marriage that is torn apart? One step at a time. One day at a time. How do I recover from 6 months of chemotherapy? One day at a time. One step at a time. How do I rebuild my health after the shocking? One step. One day at a time. One job. Just walk in what God, you've got a plan for me. You made me, so I'm going to walk. As far as I'm concerned, you'll give me the grace. You'll give me the faith. I have one job to take one step with one another. Lord, I'm going to take whatever steps I need. And yet there's something about one thing that seems unrelated. You might have heard the scripture, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. One thing I'll seek after. You hear the psalmist talk about one thing, one thing. That speaks about focus. And Isaiah 40, 28, 31 is the verse I want to speak to you as we close. They who wait on the Lord. Everyone say wait. Wait does not mean... I'm not waiting on the Lord. The word wait literally means to focus, to have one thing. Those who focus on the Lord, those who have one thing with the Lord, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk. They will walk. They will walk. They will walk and not faint. I don't even know if I can take the one step. Well, they that have the one thing can take the one step. They that do the one thing can take the one step. They that decide to make God their one thing. And you know, the word wait, focus, is not, again, passing time. Think of a hunter stalking out prey. He's waiting. He's not moving, but he's focused. Or think of a lion about to stalk its prey. It's silent. It looks like it's sleeping, but it's not. It's focused. You know, just part of my time, my journey, Jemima and I, even on our journey in the middle of this crazy 14, 15, 16 month stretch where we've missed all of you around the world and we haven't had the chance to come, you know, God has been working so hard on all our issues, all our stuff. And in the midst of that, one of the things, and I really want to honor my wife for this because she said, one of the things we need to do is make sure we haven't lost our time with God. You're like, that's scary, pastors, because you're working for Him. Yeah, in so many prayer meetings, you lose count. We're singing so many songs. It's all sort of, and as a pastor, you're thinking, whoa. But it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, a plumber, a pupil. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. You're retired. There's no substitute for the one thing, which is your time with the Lord. And very quickly, it wasn't about time to prepare a sermon. It wasn't about time to write a song. It wasn't even about time to do what we do. It was just me and God with me and God. Just alone with God. And every one of us, if we would do the one thing, He will promise you that you will walk and not faint. You'll be able to take your one step. You'll be able to do your one job. You'll be able to, God will grace you for this journey ahead if you do that one thing. Now, you might go, yeah, I've heard this before. Can I really ask you a question that I had to confront myself with? Is there someone to say, hey, have you spent time with the Lord this week? Have you spent time with the Lord today? You know, Jemima and I promised each other that we're going to ask each other the question. Nothing to do with our marriage, nothing to do with us, to just do with me and God. And I've got one another to help me ask that question. And that time with God is priceless. Do you know, if I told you, if you're a basketball fan wanting to learn how to play basketball, and I tell you Michael Jordan was available for 30 minutes every morning for personal one-on-one training, you would wake up at any hour to meet him. If you're a business guy or a futurist and you thought, and I told you Elon Musk set aside half an hour for you alone, you would move whatever was in your diary to meet with him. Think of your mentor, your hero, your profile, your issue, and you were guaranteed alone time one-on-one with the expert of your field. You would do whatever you had to do to prioritize it, and yet one greater than all of them makes himself available to you. He says, I'll meet you in the morning. If you would say, early will I seek you, my soul longs for you. God, my one desire is to have one thing, to have a focused time with you. He says, I'm not just here to chew up your calendar. I will refresh you. You will rise with wings as eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. I have God's grace. He's given me faith. God planned me with purpose. So let's spend some time with him. Why don't we stand? Let's stand to our feet. Come on, let's stand all over the world, in every hub that you're in, right across the world. Even if you're at home, if it's possible, come on, as much as I've asked you to look at your neighbor and we've had a lot of fun tonight, I want you now to forget about the person next to you, because I'm asking you, I'm really inviting you. In fact, I'm inviting all of us to have a one thing moment. God is right where you are. He's nearer than your next breath. Just become aware of his presence. Become aware of his touch. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're filling every space, every place around the world, in this auditorium, in every home. Lord, fill the hungry. Meet those who are thirsty. See, remember, you're not waiting on him like you're just passing time, waiting for this moment to pass. There's a focus, there's a desire. So come on, you can forget about the person next to you and just give your attention to heaven right now. And say, Father, I just want you. I need you. I need you. I want to be conscious, Lord, that my life belongs to you. You've given me grace. You've given me faith. You've got a plan for my life. And God, maybe my life isn't turning out. It doesn't seem like it's my reality. Well, right now, we can press the reset button. And I really believe tonight, hearts are going to get realigned, reignited. And whether you're in this hub here in Wangara, whether you're in any auditorium around the world, wherever it is, the invitation is to you from the Lord to respond in a way. And you know, we said that we should walk in them. One job, walk. Maybe for some of us, it's a symbolic act. For some of us, it's a prophetic act. For some of us, it might just feel like a metaphor, but you know that in your heart of hearts, you want to access that grace that is available. You want to access that faith that is available. You want to be realigned and reawakened to the fact that God made you. He's got a plan for you. You've wandered off. You've lost focus. Things have just drifted. I don't mean you hate God. I don't mean you don't believe. Maybe that's the decision you need to make. Maybe your one job, your one step tonight is to get out of your seat in Wangara and just say, you know what? I'm just going to make a conscious act before the Lord that he can see my work. I don't know how else to respond, but if I've got legs, I can move in the right direction and say, Father, my life is yours.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that he loves you very much. So much that he died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.